Welcome back to Making It So. This is episode number 27. I'm your host, Craig, and my co-host, Maddie. How you going, buddy?
What's up?
We're here covering a season 5, episode 4 of Star Trek Discovery, which is called Mirrors. It's a pretty long episode, this one, at 58 minutes.
Wait, just say season 5, episode 4.
Season 5, episode 5.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. Oh, a little bit behind.
It's fine.
This is the first episode of this season that Maddie and I have had to watch it as it's come out on a streaming service here in Australia, Paramount. So,
you smell that?
No, what?
It's just a slight whiff that someone might have shit the bed. Just.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, just getting a slight whiff. Like I'm downwind of something.
No, I'm not so sure.
Well, let's see how we go.
This is the halfway point of the season as well. Mm. But before we go any further, spoiler alert, if you haven't listened or watched the episode yet, please stop listening to our podcast right now. Go back and watch the episode. You know, if you don't want to be spoiled. If you want to be spoiled, hey, listen to us. We'll talk all the way through the episode. And we'll let you know exactly what happened.
Watch it with the sound off and the subtitles while we... No, that won't sync up. No, we're not.
The subtitles are slightly off, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I just bet there's... Kevin Smith used to do a... Frasier podcast where he would just like literally just take a hit of his bong and like go, I'm gonna play season 4 episode 5 now, and he would just do like a 22 minute podcast where he and his friend would just talk over the top of it. It was brilliant.
Interesting.
I think it was with Matt Myra too, who did the first season of The Ready Room back in the day.
Okay, so this episode was called Mirrors. Let's read the synopsis, shall we? So it says, Captain Burnham and Book journey into extra-dimensional space in search of the next clue to the location of the Progenitor's power. Meanwhile, Rayner navigates his first mission in command of the USS Discovery, and Colbert opens up to Tilly. All right, this episode...
That's a lot to put in a synopsis.
Yeah.
Not a lot of payoff.
No, it's not a lot of other information here about who directed it or whatnot, so... Oh, I won't even bother with that. That was just straight off of Prime Video.
That'll come out in a couple of days, but we would have had to have paid attention to the opening credits to see that, I guess.
Oh, look, I did see it and I thought about writing it down.
I saw someone's name was Cisco, but it was with a C, not an S. Someone who wrote its name, last name was Cisco. That's as much as I can tell you.
Yeah, right. Look, overall, I didn't really mind this episode, but I know Maddie's got a few points.
Overall, I didn't really like this episode.
As I said, look, this is the halfway point of this season. Yeah, we're getting 10 episodes.
Around about the time New Trek usually tends to shit the bed.
Oh, look. I don't think it has so far. But hey, we'll get there as we talk through. So this episode starts off with Booker doing a personal log. And then he's looking at Mole's wanted poster as well. Sort of, I guess, because last week we found out that Booker's mentor is actually Mole's dad.
Yeah, also called Cleveland Booker, which isn't confusing at all.
Well, no, because he took his name.
Yeah, but then I don't know enough about Book, but I'm assuming the Cleveland Booker, the fourth or fifth, whoever, the guy before him, wasn't a Quajon?
No, I don't think so.
Right, okay. That'd explain why then Mole isn't Quajon as well.
Yeah.
Well, you can't really tell just by looking at him. I mean, Cleveland, Book looks human.
Until his forehead starts glowing.
Glowy forehead, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Stamets and Tilly are briefing the bridge crew on, you know, essentially what's happening with the mission.
You know, I was gonna, like, dock points for that because I'm like, why are they not in the...
In the ready room?
In the ready room or the observation lounge, whatever you want to call it, the conference room, whatever. But then they stepped to the side and like adjusted the view screen so that they could see the space anus. So I'm like, okay, that's fine.
You mean the aperture?
It was a space anus.
So we've got a couple of new bridge crew members now.
Yeah, great time to introduce new crew.
I'm guessing at this point of the season, I don't think they, when they were filming it, they didn't know that they were getting cancelled. So I think it kind of makes sense, you know, if you think about it that way. That they're planning on continuing.
But they slowly seem to be writing out. I didn't realize, I feel a little bit racist because they wrote out that one random black bridge officer guy, Reese or Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've put a different black guy in there. But that's not him. That's a different guy. So it's not Reese and Bryce on the bridge. It's Reese and/or Bryce and some other guy with a new name. And then they shipped off a blonde chick who used to be Ariam. She's serving on the J now or whatever.
Yes.
And then, yeah, they seem to be sort of writing out the other two that we kind of know.
Awoshikun.
Redhead 7 of 9, cheap knockoff 7 of 9, and Awoshikun, which is annoying.
Yeah, because I don't know if we're going to see them again.
Yeah.
They didn't die, though.
No.
Oh.
Yet.
And one of those new bridge crew members is a Bajoran.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a nice little touch.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Right, so they're going to go into the aperture or the vortex, whatever you want to call it. I think they mentioned there was an aperture.
Well, in classic Discovery style, Michael says, well, no, obviously I'm going.
Yeah.
No one else is going to go. Obviously I'm going to be the one that goes.
Well, Rayner, as the good first officer, takes her to the side and's like, you really shouldn't be going. It should be me.
Did you notice? What did they do? What did Rayner do when he wanted to have that little aside with her?
He asked her to...
He walked with her into the ready room. Unlike last week where they transported into the ready room.
Well, as I've said before, maybe they just need to get that step count
How
up.
How convenient.
Look, previously, that last week, she'd already done a lot of steps, all right? Yeah. She didn't want to break that 10,000.
But if they'd walked last time, they would have gotten caught by the time bug. It was only because they transported that they were sort of outside the timey-wiminess. So...
Look, yeah.
I believe that calls for an oh, how convenient
plot convenience.
Mm.
Anyway, he suggests that he's the one that goes away on the away mission and not her. But then she gives this big, you know, little speech to him about, you know, how, you know, he needs to, you know, work with the crew and, you know, she's got to go with Book.
And she's literally the only person that ever does anything and
yeah.
has literally been the only person who's been in every episode of the show at this point.
Look, would Riker have allowed Picard to do it? Probably not.
Nope.
Would Picard have done it if he'd have wanted to? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Same with Janeway and
yeah.
Chakotay. If she wanted to do it, she was doing it. So, look, it fits.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Like, but, you know, he seems to have...
It's not a shock that Michael would be like, yeah, I'm going
to
go.
Rayner seems to have accepted his fate as the first officer and... He's actually trying to do the job, which I think
that makes sense. Like, at the end of the day, he had the choice to either take retirement or take this position, and he chose to take this position. So it would be disingenuous for him to be all, like meh, about it. Like, just sort of, you know, have this chip on his shoulder. He's there to do a job. He's doing his job, and he's learning how to work with these new people. And he's also kind of, like last week, kind of pushing back and saying... Well, no, this is me that you have to get to know, but I also need to learn how to work with you guys as well. So he's being a professional.
He's very straight down the line too.
Mm.
One thing I've noticed about Michael Burnham's command style, especially this season more than any other, she is very, very appreciative of her crew and lets them know that they've done a good job, like even for minor things. And I think that's really good for crew morale.
Yeah.
Right, whereas, you know, Rayner's a bit like, okay, you've done your job, so what?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of social commentary there in sort of, you know, how quote-unquote 2020 workplaces, you know, work compared to Rayner being that more old school kind of guy.
But later on, he does talk about, like, anyone that can figure out how to keep the aperture open, he'll give them some...
Citrus mash?
Yeah, what's his race again?
Telerin?
Some Telerin citrus mash.
We learn a lot about Telerin food in this episode. Yeah. They boil their cakes.
Well, like a few people sort of looked a bit strange about that. I'm like, well, there are cakes that we boil as well.
Are there?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Doesn't that technically make it a pudding? I know my grandma used to make like Christmas pudding and that was boiled.
Yeah. Yeah, same sort of thing. It's still a cake really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's still a cake, but we're talking about the process, the baking versus the boiling.
Yeah, maybe it's...
Sounds like a lot of wet food on Telerin. Citrus mash, boiled cake. It's not a lot of texture going on
I think
there
the
so
citrus
far.
The citrus mash, though, I think was an alcoholic beverage.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because like...
That sounds even worse than I was imagining.
Because like some of those... what was it called? Like some of those American spirits, they're called a mash.
Really?
They're called a sour mash, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. I've heard of a muddle, like you muddle fruits, but I've never heard of a mash.
Yeah. Yeah, was it Jim Beam is like a sour mash.
That's what
it's called. It's written on the bottle. I think I've got one in the cupboard. I'll have to show you later.
I was mentioning some kind of food.
He mentioned a bottle of Keller and Citrus Mash, wow, which made me think it was an alcoholic beverage.
Okay. I like citrus and alcohol, so I might fuck with that.
I'm sure someone out there is going to make it now.
Citrus and alcohol, groundbreaking.
Yeah. Maddie likes alcohol. Surprise. All right. Michael and Book, they go on the shuttle and they go into the aperture. Right. And when they get in there, they find out that Mole and Locke's ship has been destroyed. There's pieces
there's
everywhere.
Now too, yeah. There's a half over here and a half over there.
Yeah. And then they see the ISS Enterprise in that interdimensional space rift.
Mm.
So, you know, those of you who don't know what the ISS Enterprise is, you know, it's Mirror Universe, Terran Empire.
Yeah, which obviously makes sense for the name of the episode. I thought the name of the episode would have been that weird name that they say Locke is later on, Aragorn.
Eriga or something?
I'm just saying.
I did write it down.
I'm just saying the Lord of the Rings thing.
Yeah, Eriga.
Okay, it's Aragorn from now on. change approved. But yeah, I guess maybe it's a little shout out to, given that there are so many member berries this season, maybe that's sort of a throwback to like DS9 would always, if it was going to be a Mirror Universe episode, they would put something about a mirror kind of, you know, in the episode. So maybe that's why they decided to name it Mirrors instead of Aragorn. Which is fair enough.
There was a good little thing in here where like Book's talking about like the ISS Enterprise and he's like basically like, what the hell? And Burnham's like, well, crossing between universes has been impossible for centuries.
Yeah.
So okay, because
I'd like to know more about that.
So this is the problem that Emperor Georgiou had. So why she was struggling in the 32nd century, because the Mirror Universe and our universe had drifted so far apart over the centuries,
yep,
she couldn't exist there. So that's why she had to go back in time to a point where the Mirror Universe and our universe were closer together.
Right.
So they couldn't exist. So if there was...
But...
For instance, if somebody was on that ISS Enterprise, not that they would be... and still alive, they wouldn't have been able to exist for long in our time.
But the ship now can.
The ship possibly can, yeah, because I guess it's not biological. So
Tally 2. Oh, how convenient!
yeah.
Okay, that's because I didn't understand that. I was looking for more information on why it's been. Well, that's interesting because that doesn't technically mean that it's impossible to cross over, like. It is, so it is possible to cross over, it's just not advised, but it's never been advised. So that's interesting. I do like that, you know, the backstory, because I'd forgotten all that stuff with Georgiou. If that's how they want to sort of, you know, tie a bow around all that, that's fine. I was hoping for something maybe a little bit more.
We get to a little bit of a C plot, I'm guessing, here for the episode with Dr. Culber. He's a bit off in this episode, and we're sort of figuring out why. I'm guessing it's like that C plot sort of area. It's not really the B plot. It's sort of C.
And then they come back to it at the end of the episode, and I still have no idea what his issue is.
Yeah, I think to me it seemed like he was having a little bit of a psychological problem, because you know, he mentioned towards the end that he died and come back to life.
Yeah, but that was like 800 years ago.
Well, yeah, but that was like 6 months ago for him, though.
No, that was like 4 years ago. He died at the end of season one, didn't he? He hasn't mentioned it in like 4 years.
Yeah, but he's just gone through the whole thing with the trill as well. And I don't know.
Yeah, see, I call bullshit on that because that's not how Jintaras work. You are in complete control the whole time. This, again, shows that the people writing this show do not understand what they're talking about. If you're going to reference something, know it and understand it. We talked about it the other week in the trill episode. Quark, while being... you know, occupied by the Ordred host, was able to take control at any point he wanted to. That's the whole point of the Jintara. Sisko was able to take control over Jiran when he was stuck behind the containment field in security on Deep Space Nine. So the fact that Culber is now having a little baby cry about all the stuff with no, that's not how that works, mate. That's not... Suck it up.
Well, maybe he's just...
If you've been dead and come back to life... then the Jintara you just went through is a cakewalk. Because guess what? There were 9 people on Deep Space Nine who went through a Jintara and nobody mentioned it after the episode, including the fact that at one point, Odo joined with Curzon and decided they were going to stay that way forever. And then 20 minutes later decided they weren't going to do it. And Odo never mentioned it again. So Culber just needs to suck it up, stop being a little bitch, and get on with it. Because at the end of his little crybaby thing at the bar with Tilly, he then said all these things, and I'm loving it. It's great. And then seemed to go, oh, but Paul doesn't like it. Okay, are they going to break up now? Is that what he's hinting at, that he's going to break up with Paul?
I almost got that sort of feeling that, you know, there's a little bit of a rockiness in their relationship. So.
When did we start watching Days of Our Lives?
5 seasons ago.
It's not a good sign when you look at Tom Paris and Belana Torres and go, that's a way more healthy relationship than Culver and Paul. Like,
yeah, considering how abusive she was at times.
Yeah, right? And like Paul and Culver have just been like, they've been a rock the whole series. There's never been at any point they've had sort of a rocky period. They're just like, no, they're end game.
Culber is generally the more stable one out of the two of them, I think. And Stamets, he's a pain in the ass.
Well, I guess, yeah. I guess I would be too, considering what we found out last week, that he exists out of time or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or can sense things that are out of time. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, like, that Culver's the stable one.
I was going to say, because Stamets' personality is annoying most of the time to me.
Super grating. Super duper grating.
He's a bit of a strange fellow. Adira, she's blaming herself for the time bug thing. Like, you can't blame yourself for that. Like,
for about an eighth of a second, and then doesn't mention it ever again.
Yeah.
It's almost like not even worth mentioning. Like, but yeah,
she's a bit of a whinger too. She's been hanging around.
They're a bit of a whinger.
She's been hanging around bloody Stamets too much.
They've been hanging around Stamets too much.
Mate, if you listened to last week's episode, you called her she heaps.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, crap.
I didn't want to tell you at the time.
I try.
Yeah. I don't. Raina tells Stamets to explain in one sentence or less.
Yeah, that was right. Good.
He's really sticking to that sort of like, let's get to the point.
Also,
quickly.
How could it be less than one sentence?
Well, yeah,
like even two words can be a sentence, right?
There's a structure to a sentence. Mm. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But then, yeah, he explains it and gets to the end of his sentence, and then Raina's like, okay, more words.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's... Raina has got character growth slowly.
Yeah.
Which is good. Like, we've only had him for a couple episodes, so...
Yeah, and it's a fun way. I find him more entertaining than old mate that you liked from Picard. What was his name? Beardy McBeardface guy? Captain of the Titan or whatever. He got on my nerves. Whereas, yeah, I find Raina, as much as I don't like him, he's entertaining to watch at this point. Like, they're finding that right balance of him being this annoying stick in the mud and being too rigid, but also he's kind of fun with it as well. So I guess in the way that, you know, Seven of Nine, when she was first introduced, was very rigid, but it was very fun to watch. So.
Well, even, like, say Janeway, for instance, and even Picard and Sisko, like, at the beginning, they were all very rigid. And they slowly relaxed and settled into their characters.
And even later seasons, Picard around kids was still very, like, that episode where he's stuck in the turbo lift with those three kids, still very rigid at the start and then slowly, yeah. So, yeah, no, that, yeah, it tracks.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's more the actors, I'd say, as well, being quite sort of not understanding their character just yet and not comfortable with the character. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, whereas obviously, Rainey, he's just kind of hit the ground running and seems to be a good fit at the moment.
Yeah, I like him at the moment. So, one thing you picked up and you mentioned, the ISS Enterprise was essentially just the Strange New Worlds Enterprise set redressed.
Yeah, very clever. Yeah. It's like, well, we've got all these sets here.
Yeah, we're not filming this at the moment. We might as well use the set.
Yeah, it was quite convenient. It's like, oh, the only two places we see on the ISS Enterprise are the bridge and sickbay, which happen to be the two biggest sets that they have for Strange New Worlds.
And how are we going to redress it? We're going to whack a couple of Terran Empire stickers up.
Yeah, put the red alerts on, a couple of sparks and some hanging wires and stuff.
And we're good to go.
Saved a fortune. Put all that budget towards the Space Anus CGI.
Which, that was really cool, actually. I really, like... I've said it before, and the CGI in this new Trek and Discovery is actually very, very good.
Yeah, it looks very pretty. The ships were nicer looking, but the actual... Yeah.
Look, I liked the nice. ISS Enterprise. Like, it looks great.
That's where me and Reese/Bryce differ. I'm like, I'm not a not a fan of that that era.
So, as Michael is on the bridge of the ISS Enterprise, she automatically takes the captain's chair.
Yeah, I feel like there was maybe some more. There's like three buttons on that thing. What could she actually have been doing
like,
there?
Why didn't she go sit at like ops or something?
And sit at her brother's station. She talked about her brother's chair and stuff. Why wouldn't she go and sit at it? Would I feel like that would have been more of a moment for her to have than seeing Book at that station.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, yeah, you want to see Burnham sitting in that chair. I get it. You want to see a captain sitting in another captain's chair. But A, I don't think they made the meal out of it, which again, I feel like I probably would have criticized them if they had made a meal out of it, like did a slow push in and the music builds as she sits down in you know, the Enterprise's chair or something. I probably would have given them shit if they'd done that. So they're probably damned if you do, damned if you don't at that moment.
One thing, it sort of pricked my ears up a little bit, but I didn't go back and rewatch it. She might have said something about not seeing the Enterprise from her time before.
Oh.
Didn't she? Like when...
Like I don't know.
When like her brother and that are on Discovery, like didn't the Enterprise come to them? I'm sure.
Maybe
she didn't go on it.
Yeah, maybe she's never been inside of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's what she meant. She's never seen inside of it or anything like that. Because obviously Pike was in command of it. They met up and then Pike came over and took command of Discovery for season two. So, yeah, I didn't actually catch that line.
Yeah,
so
I caught it.
The audio mix is really not great. The subtitles help a lot.
They're
not delayed.
Yeah, there was one point there where we were like, what did they say? And I had to go back and put the subtitles on.
Yeah.
So we could understand it. All right, and apparently the Mirror Universe Saru, Action Saru, led a rebellion.
Yeah, and freed all the humans and stuff.
Yeah, which it fits with Saru's character.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we'd have to go back to season one, and I'm sure that all tracks with everything we saw of Discovery's Mirror Universe. I don't really remember a lot of it, so I'm only going off like my knowledge of the Mirror Universe from Deep Space Nine and that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, that seems to all track with the way, from what I remember of, you know, yeah, Tilly with her gold armor and long hair and all that kind of stuff, and Saru being, that's right, because when we first introduced to Emperor Georgiou, weren't they eating Kelpians?
Yes, I think so. Yeah,
yeah, they were like their little threat ganglia were like a delicacy or something like that.
It kind of makes sense, you know, that Terrans would be doing things like that. All right, so Mole and Locke were in the sick bay of the ISS Enterprise and they had set up holo emitters to have holo doubles.
I hope so. I did want to go back and watch that, but I'm pretty sure I heard Book say that they tapped into the holo emitters.
Oh, I think they put in the holo emitters.
That I'll accept. If they took holo emitters from their ship and put them in there, that's totally cool. But if they are trying to insinuate that the ISS Enterprise had holo emitters in the thing, I don't buy that.
No. I'm sure that they put the holo emitters there.
Like, I hope so.
People that have watched the episode, put in the comments below, like, did we mess that up? Did they bring the holo emitters with them? Or were they already there?
You know I'm not going back.
No, Maddie's not going to go back.
I'm done with that episode. They each get one. That's it.
For the moment. Until Maddie's like 60, maybe 70, and he's losing his mind. It's like, oh, I haven't seen this before.
I hope you don't want to do a recap of this season, because I've been deleting my notes as we go, and I'm definitely not doing a rewatch.
Oh, we're doing a recap.
Okay. I'll have to go. You'll be running that, and I'll just be going off memory.
I run it anyway.
Okay, that's fair.
All right, Book tries to talk to Mole. Right, and he tries to connect with her, you know, using like her dad as like the connection, because you know her dad was, you know, his mentor and everything. She hated her dad.
I did really, really enjoy that that term, because at no point has anyone ever thought about the fact that, yeah, maybe Mole doesn't actually like her dad. She doesn't scream healthy parental relationships.
In
her kind. So it's quite funny. I liked the fact that he was like, oh my God, we're family. I knew your father. He didn't ever call her his sister. So I don't quite understand the familial thing, but I think that's like a Quajon-ish thing. But I did like the term, which she's like, oh, you knew my dad. He was a dick.
The only other show that I've seen that actress that plays Mole in was The Night Agent. And the character that she plays in that seems very similar to this one, actually.
I've seen her in The 100 and I've seen her in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So in The Night Agent, she is a terrorist agent sort of person working with another person, and they're sort of on the run together. And, you know, the other one's the kind of... the more level-headed one, and she's the crazy one, and she's doing the same thing here. Does she play herself? I don't know. It's
terrifying that we're calling Locke the more balanced one.
I think he is, though, don't you?
That's what I mean. It's scary that he is, yeah.
So, right. So, as he's talking, as Book is talking to Mole, all right, they start figuring out, like, almost why they are running, and they say that they can't erase an Eriger.
An Aragorn.
An Eriger. All right. I know you want to call it an Aragorn, but yeah.
Not want. I am. Change approved. It's an Aragorn.
So an Eriger, we learned it in this episode because to begin with, Maddie and I are like, what the hell is
that
this?
That was the word that made us turn the subtitles on.
It is a Breen blood oath.
Blood bounty.
A blood bounty, sorry. Yeah, a Breen blood bounty. Yeah. I've written it down. The next
so
one.
I wonder if that's like their word for pariah? Like he's a pariah, he's an Aragorn, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm guessing a blood bounty is, he has to be caught and he has to be killed.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess we're bearing the lead. You were right, he's Breen.
Yeah. I said it a couple of weeks ago and I was like, I think he could be Breen.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Because he mentioned that first time where we saw him take his helmet off, he mentioned not liking wearing the helmet.
Yeah.
And the greenness and everything, I was like, he's got to be Breen. And
well, you're right. You'd call it like they've mentioned the Breen a lot. Like almost every episode they've mentioned the Breen this season.
And it fit for me. And I know Maddie doesn't like what they've done here. But
because
I don't mind it.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't actually break any... law,
it
though.
Absolutely breaks.
I don't think it does.
It absolutely does. We were at war with... Here we go.
Okay.
I'm going to lay it out.
Yeah, Maddie, lay it out. Go on, let's do it. I'm sitting back.
Dukat and Kira Nerys have seen a Breen's face twice. Mm-hmm. Twice during Deep Space Nine, Kira Nerys has knocked a Breen out, stolen his uniform to then sneak around as a Breen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Two, when they started creating the Breen, like when they designed those Breen outfits in season 4 of Deep Space Nine... The inspiration was an Arctic wolf. That was the inspiration. That's why they gave the illusion of having a snout. Now, I know you said it could be their cooling
unit. Yeah, it could just be the cooling unit in the face.
Great. Stupid place if when they're a warrior race to be like, the one thing, we have to wear cooling units to stay alive, and we're going to put that cooling unit right in the face, right in the front, just the prime spot for you to shoot us so that our cooling units do not work and we die. Dumb. Now, we've been at war with the Breen, like the Federation has been at war with the Breen. Now, we've scanned Breen vessels. We know what Breen life signs are. So, if you scanned Locke from space, you would be able to cross-reference that with a Federation database and go, that is a Breen life sign. But regardless of what they actually look like, if I've never met you before in my life and you're the only person on a planet... and I scan you from orbit, I know you're human. I've never seen your face. I don't know what you look like, but I know that you are human.
Yes, but the change between like solid face looking Locke and the...
Oh, we haven't even got to that bitch.
Like, wouldn't... That could potentially be like a DNA changing type of thing.
Right, well, at this point, they haven't told us that. So that's on the show to tell me that. At this point... I think it's all absolute load of bullshit. They don't know their history when it comes to the Breen. Like I said, there's no way that Locke could be scanned and someone would go, oh, that's unknown. You would know that he's a Breen life sign just by scanning his life signs. That's how that works. Also, later in the episode...
apparently, Locke is Breen royalty, though, too.
Yes, Breen royalty. I do, he's the prince or whatever.
So that makes me think that maybe... the whole face-changing thing could be limited to the royalty side of the house.
Potentially, yeah.
So, but they need to explain that.
However, in the flashbacks, we saw every single Breen person there with no snouts. And he was
well,
like...
Well, they still had the helmets on.
They had the helmet but no snout. I don't think... Because the other thing, too, that I know from reading... the companions and that kind of stuff from Deep Space Nine... their physiology isn't humanoid inside the helmet. If you go and look back at the Deep Space Nine Breen, the green visor, which is their quote-unquote eyes, is actually up where a human's forehead would be because the actors that were actually in it couldn't see. They had a lot of problems. They would walk three steps and bump into shit. And those faceplates were held on with magnets. If you watch when Kira Nerys, is actually a shot where Kira Nerys takes off the mask and the little green visor thing is still up on her forehead.
Yeah, right. I didn't notice that.
And they talk about it in this episode, she calls him Green Eye because that's where they see out of.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way Locke's humanoid face could fit into one of those Breen suits back from the 2370s. I'm waiting for them to say that they've had some kind of change in the last 800 years.
And some sort of morphogenic virus or something.
Yeah, I think when we've spoken about this off mic, I think if they can buy it back by saying after the Dominion War, the Breen took a couple of founders hostage or captive or whatever and experimented on them and tried to incorporate their changeling abilities into their DNA, like into Breen DNA to make them better warriors and stuff like that. And this is what the Breen now are 800 years later. Signed, sealed, delivered. Love it, baby. Love it. But at this point, hot, sweaty garbage.
I actually don't mind it, what they've done here.
Hate it.
Like, also, I think it's fine.
If they can change their... Well, he talked about in the flashbacks, and even he had a talk with his uncle about it, it's like they have these two faces. It's like, and Mole's like, oh, yep. I've seen your face. Let me see your other face. And the uncle was like, oh, we've evolved beyond your green makeup face. We have CGI face now. So they have that. So I'm assuming that...
Something that's happened.
Their whole body can do that?
Yeah, I'm guessing, yeah.
Yet, later on, when Michael is having a standoff with Locke and refuses to just pull out another phaser out of her magic arm of things, she decides to have a hand-to-hand fight with him and makes him fall on his own dagger and he gets stabbed and he's like, oh, and he's all like bleeding out. Breen don't have blood. And if he has a glowy green face, he doesn't have blood either. It's established in Deep Space Nine that the Breen have no blood or liquid circulatory system.
Really? Uh-huh. I can't remember that.
Dr. Bashir tells us that because he was in a Dominion prison camp with a Breen.
Okay.
Suck it, Discovery.
So I'm picking then, you know, filling in the gaps for the writers here, that the Breen that we are used to seeing in DS9 sort of era are the glowy head people. Right, and then there's something that's happened, or maybe
they would have to be green face people because the uncle said we've evolved past green face to glowy face.
That's true. Interesting.
And again, that green face doesn't match up with the physiology of that helmet, whereas the glowy face would. Like you were talking about in episode one when we first introduced to Locke, he takes off his helmet and his face kind of is all gooey and then becomes.
It becomes solid, yeah.
Yeah. And again, that doesn't track, just thinking about it now, that doesn't track with this storyline that they're kind of they're inferring that Locke doesn't like his glowy face. He prefers his green makeup face. But then why, when he took his helmet off in the first episode, was he glowy face other than to just show us as an audience that he has that capability?
Maybe they have to have the glowy face inside the helmet.
But he was wearing the same helmet as Mole and she just took the helmet off and had her normal human face. Yeah. See? Plot holes.
I don't know.
This is me falling down the plot hole.
At the moment, I actually don't mind it. And it is a retcon, you know, for... The Breen.
Yeah.
How many retcons have we seen over the years? Like, you know, the original Klingons were Chinese dudes. Like white guys dressed as Chinese guys.
Yeah, they were painted up to look Mongolian. Yeah,
like it's happened. Yeah. Is like, it's not to the level of the season one Discovery Klingons.
See, I would put it on that level. Ooh, because, really? Because I'm a DS9 bitch.
Yeah.
I'm a DS9 and Voyager is my jam. That's well known. I would say them fucking with the Breen at such a late... like we said, they didn't know they were cancelled when they were doing this. But I think to fuck with the Breen like this, after the vitriol and the blowback from what they did to the Klingons in Seasons 1 and then tried to retcon it in Season 2 and people still weren't happy, so they just went, we're not going to do Klingons anymore.
I don't think people are going to have so much of a problem with this. Like,
well, that's because it's at the point now where if you go online and have a negative opinion about... Discovery, you're a bigot and you're disgusting and you're a sexist and you're a racist and you can't actually have an opinion about it.
That's so, just you all over.
So yeah, I agree. I don't think there will be as much sort of vitriol about it.
I can't believe I'm the progressive one here.
Oh, how dare you? I don't think there will be as much vitriol because I don't think all the people that were hating on season one and two of Discovery are even still watching.
No, I don't think so.
So I think, yeah.
I was looking at a couple of comments on Facebook the other day and people are like, yeah, I stopped watching like halfway through season one or two after the first episode.
So I think anyone who's still watching now, aside from being forced to do it like me.
You volunteered, mate.
I did not. How dare you?
I'm just going to cut out the not part.
Are you working for Discovery? Because you are just rewriting history here willy-nilly to whatever you need to make happen.
Yeah, so throughout the episode, we get a few of those flashbacks to where Mol and Locke are, you know, essentially forming their relationship.
Yeah, they've had more backstory established than the entire bridge crew of Discovery in the last five seasons.
Yeah, yeah, and it's good backstory, really. Like, she's trying to convince him to come along with her, and yeah, he's some Breen royalty who's, you know, fucked up somehow. And you know, now he's working for his uncle, who's obviously Breen royalty, and he's got to keep his boots polished. And
yeah, I would have liked them to have maybe changed up the like the blocking a little bit of those scenes, because I think what was supposed to happen is like when we got to maybe the, you know, the third flashback to where like they're hiding behind the holographic thing. It's like, I think that's supposed to insinuate that it's been a few months or a few trips. Like she's been making those trips back and forward, and he's like, you've seen my face. And she's like, no, but I want to see your other face. But because of the way, you know, they're shooting in like their version of the Lucasfilm volume, where they're just in a room with video screens all around them, I feel like they just block shot all that stuff and didn't change up Mol's hair. Like, she just has that longer flashback hair. They didn't change up or do anything. So it took me a second to go, oh, time has passed.
Yeah, okay.
It's not just, they didn't just take that one scene and cut it in half. Time has passed between these two encounters. Because, yeah, it felt for a minute like they were in love very quickly. And I was like, oh, what? Oh, time has passed.
Yeah,
this isn't the second half of that scene. It's another time that they've met up where she's doing multiple runs. So I would have liked them to sort of maybe change that up a little bit.
Yeah, well, I sort of picked up on that straight away, that it was multiple different times. So, yeah, it is what it is. Mm. Yeah, with another watch, which Maddie probably won't do.
Probably.
You'd pick up on that, I think.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. It is.
By the time they got to the hologram one, I was like, oh, these are time jumps. This is, you know, we're not cutting back to the same scene.
Did you notice, though, how with like transparent skull, you know, Breen, you could see like right into their brain. You could see like little synapses
Captain,
firing and stuff.
Oh, God, this is going to test my DS9 knowledge. Captain, I want to say Bodega, but that's not it.
Bodega.
He's a Gallimite and he has a transparent skull, and Jadzia Dax dated him and tried to take care of him. And his name is Captain Bodet.
Yes.
See, I was close. Bodega. Holy crap.
Matty's mind works in mysterious ways. Have we ever heard Breen speak English before?
No.
I didn't think we had either.
No.
Yeah.
They only ever spoke that.
Yeah, because Lorc says to his uncle, he's like, speak in her language so she can understand you. Because normally the universal translator can't figure out what the hell they're saying.
Yeah, there was... In Deep Space Nine, it was like a plot point, because the Vorta and the Founders could understand Breen talking, but Cardassians couldn't.
No.
So there was a lot of fun. I remember seeing
like Damar getting shitty about it.
Yeah, he's like, what do you say? Thought, that's like Leggett, right? No. I love that Thought has actually become like a thing now, that like it's that hoe over there. So it's like Thought Gore. And then... Thought almost seems to be like, from a line they said in that, it's like, you have Thought blood in you, which made me giggle so much. But it seems like, Thought is like, like a term of revelry, or almost like a royalty god, deity, type sort of thing.
Which, you know, like, as I said, maybe that is, you know, the reason why Lorc can change into like solid green face.
Mm.
It might be a royalty sort of a thing. Who knows?
Yeah, but then we were introduced to Thought Gore in Deep Space Nine. He's the main thing. And
was he a royalty?
Yeah, I just
like a different bloodline type of thing.
He had a dog face. He had the snout. And like all.
Yeah, but that's just the suit. Yeah, I think what we're seeing now is a 32nd century evolution of the suit.
Yeah, but I just don't like the idea of my Deep Space Nine Breen being shapeshifters of some kind, because that would have been a massive plot point during, especially the final season of Deep Space Nine, when they joined the Dominion, in that the like the founders were going through their morphogenic virus and were trying to find a way for their species not to be completely destroyed.
You think they would have then gone, the Breen
would have gone, hey, well, we're shapeshifters kind of too. Maybe we can, like, you know. So that's the part that sort of sticks in my craw the most.
But then again, I'm also thinking that maybe that's why the Breen and the founders did kind of like each other a little bit there, because they were similar and they weren't exactly, you know, full solids.
Yeah, I hate that. For it not to be brought up in Deep Space Nine, the show that actually brought the Breen to life. Like, the Breen were first mentioned in Next Generation in dialogue only. It was Iris Stephen Bear who brought them to life in the show as what we know the Breen to be. So I would hate them to sort of change all that, because I feel like that's an important plot point. Yeah. Like I said, I would totally buy post-Deep Space Nine them using changeling samples and DNA to fuck with their own bodies. Great, fantastic, love it. But yeah, I don't want, you know, Thot Gore from Deep Space Nine to take off his helmet and look like Locke.
The way that they've left it with this episode at the moment, with like the flashbacks to, you know, being on the Breen space station or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get more backstory.
I think so. I think so, that would make sense. Yeah.
They may fill in the gaps a bit more.
Discovery's not great with backstory, but we'll see how we go. But
they seem to be doing better with backstory this season, though.
Yeah, maybe your
and character growth. And
maybe your name has to be in the opening credits for you to get backstory.
maybe. So anyway, Lorc and Michael are caught in sickbay when shields go up. So and then Booker and Mole, they have to work together to bring those shields down so they can get out.
That was a nice touch when Book was like, you know, yeah, we both have the same goal here, so let's work together to free our friends.
And then that really gives them that plot point of having to work together, and then he can work in the fact that, you know, he took her dad's name and things like that. So
another, oh, how convenient that they were the ones. Like it wasn't Book and Locke that were separated, and then it was Mole and Michael stuck in sickbay. But, you know,
I like how it's a TV show. Like, so how she's trying to figure out how to take the shields down, she just starts ripping shit out of consoles.
Yeah.
And it works. So, yeah, well, I thought that
works better. Like the line where Book had, where he was just like, ah, that could do more than what you want it to on this old hunker.
Yeah.
And sure enough, yeah, shit starts exploding. But didn't seem to affect it in the end, because they managed to take that ship through the through the space anus with no problem, but their shuttle was destroyed.
Michael sees that Lorc still has like the clue like in his hand, so then obviously she starts to fight him and the phasers get, you know, dropped, and yeah, he ends up picking up a knife and, you know, gets stabbed.
Yeah, so by himself. And like I said, it's that convenient. It's why I hate programmable matter, because it's like she could have just with the flick of her wrist gotten a whole fresh phaser and ended the fight. But instead she chose to get into a hand-to-hand fight and do it was a cool flip. You know, she flipped him and then he landed on his own dagger. Yeah. Well, not his own dagger, or just something he picked up.
I think it was just something. It might have been his own. It was interesting looking blade though.
Yeah, something he picked up and then managed to cut himself and start bleeding out even though he doesn't have blood.
We get another flashback to Mole and Lorc as well, and where he shoots his uncle in the shoulder. Which is obviously how we get the, you know, like what they call it, the blood Aragorn. Bounty.
The Aragorn.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because if you think about it, he shot his uncle and then his uncle said, Aragorn. And then he said to Mole, he's like, well, I'm going to be hunted for the rest of my life now. But they killed every single person around who heard that. So they could have just left, because no one would have known that his uncle said Aragorn.
Yeah, but he's still alive. I'm guessing he's not dead, the uncle.
But he killed him. He shot him.
He shot him in the shoulder.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it was specifically said, yeah, he shot him in the shoulder.
But it was,
you know, you could see that he was shot in the shoulder. I
thought that was his, like, his dying word. It was like, you're, because if you shot him in the shoulder, big fucking whoop. But now he's like, you shot me in the shoulder, you're going to be hunted for the rest of your life. I don't know. I need more information.
No, I think it's just like, you've gone against your family. Like, you're going off with her, you know. There's now a blood bounty on you. You're fucked.
Bit of a dick move considering they, like, they don't say why he's on the outs, but he's, and he's been demoted to, like, you know, looking after essentially cargo, a fucking shoe shiner, stuff like that. Yeah, so it's like, well, if you're gonna treat him like trash.
One other thing that I actually liked this about this episode as well. So obviously Rayner is running the bridge, right?
Yeah.
He's not sitting in the chair, which Michael kind of brings up a little bit later.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, as he's running the thing. But he's using the names of the new crew members.
Yeah, all these other random faces.
So, which is great.
Let's see, there's Bajoran chick, beige boring chick with black hair. I couldn't tell where they kept jumping around, so I don't know, was she in like a Woshikan seat?
Yeah.
Like at Ops? And then so was the Bajoran chick in the pilot? Was she in Detmer's spot?
She was on the left, so the right side as we look at them from the front. So the left side, which would be...
Let's just talk stage left. Detmer sits stage left. Yes. Woshikan sits stage right. So was Bajoran chick in stage left where Detmer normally sits?
Yes.
So that's the helm. So she must have been at the helm.
In the helm position, yeah.
Then there was, beige chick with black hair in a Woshikan spot. And then there was a dude as well. Was there another dude?
I think there was one other dude there.
So would he have been in Blondie ex-Arium chick's spot?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah. They're all just very generic and blah. Like at least Linus. You look at Linus, you know Linus.
Oh, everyone knows Linus.
Everyone knows Linus. You know, and even though we don't really know anything about Reese/Bryce, when you see Reese/Bryce, you know that that's Reese/Bryce. Mm. Yeah, so it's a weird choice to introduce all these sort of faces now. But yeah, you're right. At least they're putting the legwork where Rayner's saying names.
Yeah.
And not just saying helm.
I'm liking it.
And all that kind of thing. So yeah, maybe a few more watches and some of that will start to sink in.
And this is where he brings up the Kelleran citrus mash drinks all round.
Right.
And because he specifically does say drinks, yeah. So yeah, it'll be some sort of alcoholic citrus mash.
I mean, that makes more sense than him offering some kind of mashed citrus dish. To people.
And everyone would just be like, what?
I thought it might have been some kind of delicacy. Like he's
like he's just going to give everyone some mashed pineapple.
Yeah. Like he's, you know, it's like Telleran's.
He walks around with a bowl and a spoon.
Yeah. It's Telleran's version of caviar. He's like, it's a delicacy. Like this one little spoonful will cost you like a year's worth of rations. I don't know. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I learned something. That's my thing I learned new today.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Mashed alcohol.
Anyway, so the ISS Enterprise is now back into normal space because they used a tractor beam to get themselves out. But then the Discovery crew had to figure out how to open up the aperture big enough and, you know, surprise, surprise, they fired photon torpedoes in a hexagonal pattern.
The biggest amount of bullshit. Like, just like everyone has a little scientific, oh, let's do a tachyon pulse, let's do this, do that. And then Reese/Bryce, tactical officer, says, obviously, we're going to fire a torpedo because I'm the tactical officer.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, not word for word, but I'm, yeah. I'm sorry. But he says, what if we take out the payload and put antimatter in there?
That stuck with me as well.
A torpedo is a matter antimatter explosion. That's literally what a photon torpedo
is. Unless in the 32nd century they're using something different.
Well, then it shouldn't be a photon torpedo. Yeah. It'd be. We graduated to quantum torpedoes at a certain point.
It could be like a Mark 4038 photon torpedo. Who knows?
Right. But if it's a photon torpedo, then, like, what were the torpedoes called? What were the ones in Enterprise before they got torpedoes? What did they just had missiles or
photonic
whatever?
Photonic missiles?
Photonic missiles or whatever?
They were missiles.
Yeah, right. But I feel like just by using the word photon, a photon to it, that's a matter antimatter explosion to me.
Okay.
Yep. So the fact that he's like, oh, let's take it out and put antimatter in.
It did click in my mind that as well. And I was a bit like, okay.
Not a fan of that.
Anyway, the ISS Enterprise is heading back to like Federation headquarters.
Without a scratch on it. Yet somehow the much more advanced shuttle that they arrived on was conveniently destroyed off screen so that they had to pilot the ship back.
Maybe they gave it like a phaser wash or something.
But I just mean it didn't get... It was exploding, remember? With whatever mole did to it, it was exploding. Shit was going down. Our ship, our little shuttle was somehow that was docked with it, destroyed, was destroyed, but then it came through the space anus and it looked perfect.
Maddie, what have they got in the 32nd century that could have fixed it?
Bad writing?
No, 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 no.
Don't say dots.
They've got dots, and what can the dots use?
I mean literally...
Programmable matter.
But the second it came out of the anus, like it hadn't even touched the water yet. It was still turtling and it was... spotless.
Okay. I think the shot where we sort of saw it looking pretty perfect was afterwards.
I don't know.
Let's give it a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here, Maddie.
But I did like that. Hopefully, they better not bring that fucking shit back. Like
I mentioned it while we were watching Michael, it. I was like, are we going to turn this into like the Enterprise K now? Are we going to give it like floating nacelles?
Michael did have a line about Detmer and Awoshkina flying it back to base to be... to go in a museum or something like that.
Storage or something?
Yeah, something like that. So they better not pull a Picard season 3 episode 9 and like...
Discovery gets destroyed. Oh, we need a new ship. Let's get the ISS Enterprise.
Let's get this 1,100-year-old alternate universe ship that's been beaten to shit and pretend like that's going to be more advanced than...
Maybe they're going to finish the whole show off by them jumping in the ISS Enterprise, going back in time... going to the mirror universe, getting destroyed, and the whole Discovery thing is just gone.
I think I just came. That would be fantastic. That would be so good.
And then, we leave Star Trek's future open.
And then it cuts to my favorite line ever of Discovery from season 2 when Ethan Peck, Spock go, "The problem with Discovery is its very existence."
Apparently Linus can play the piano.
That tracks. He's got those long fingers.
But that would mean Saru can play the piano as well.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
I could really buy Saru being mad on the piano.
I feel like he'd need a special piano because he's got those big hooves. I can't see his legs fitting underneath the piano. He'd have to have like it up on a little plinth, and then he wouldn't be able to play the pedals.
You know, like those Japanese restaurants where you like sit in and like the legs go down like lower. I could see that's how.
Yeah, he'd have to have a custom built one. He wouldn't be able to just jump on any old grand piano. But I'd buy Saru playing the piano.
All right, Culber has a bit of a talk to Tilly, and Tilly sort of starts to become like a therapist for him.
I didn't understand
like,
that.
This is that C plot with Culber, and I'm not really getting it at the moment. Maybe I need to rewatch that again. Like
you do that because I won't.
He's a bit upset because. I don't know. Is he upset at Stamets?
I think so, but they haven't actually had a scene together in like 3 episodes. Have they had a scene together since the mixer where they were like drinking drinks in that first episode?
Sure. It seems a little bit strange. All right. Obviously, when you've been through a lot, like I said earlier, and he said in the episode, like he died at one point and now he's back.
Yeah,
and,
get over it, mate. Yeah, that's a
he's gone through the whole thing with the trill, in him. And, like,
but that'd
it's
be
just
fun.
Like, maybe for you.
Well, and for the 9 other people we've seen go through it 700, 800 years ago.
Maybe just because of all the other crap that he's been through, who knows? What but like, baby. It's just, that's what I was thinking at the time. Like, come on, man, harden the fuck up.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Like, I think it's that classic thing.
It's that C-plot with they haven't fully fleshed out yet. And maybe there's more to go.
Well, there'd have to be. Surely they're going to do more than that. But I don't want the next scene to be him breaking up with Paul without them talking about it. Because it's so far... we haven't seen Stamets be anything other than Stamets.
No.
Just
a weirdo.
Oh, that was probably the last scene when they were playing around with the Sung android.
Yeah.
But they were fine there, and he's like, "Well, luckily you married a
engineer."
And a hoarder because he had wires and stuff. And then I feel like Stamets went through it harder than Culber did because. Last week, Stamets was like jumping around through time for 6 hours and like getting attacked by time bugs. And they haven't even on screen, they haven't even spoken about that. And Stamets is fine this episode. He's like, "Yeah, I'm cool. I'm Stamets. Yeah. Whatever. It's all good now."
Different people experience things differently, I guess.
But like, I just mean, like, Culber seems to be whinging about Stamets, but he's telling us, the audience, that Whereas we're not seeing any of that. We're not seeing Stamets being anything other than Stamets.
That's true.
At what point has Stamets said he's been overwhelmed by any of this stuff that's going on? You know what I mean? Like, he seems fine. He's doing his thing. I think he and Adira were, like, in their element, like, trying to, you know, tech the tech at the start of the episode.
I think Stamets is too busy being a dad for Adira to worry about his own problems at the moment.
Well, I don't think he's got any problems. That's the thing. I feel like Kolber's just, like, creating problems.
Yeah.
Because, as a TV show, they need to show us the problem. They haven't shown us the problem. They've told us there's a problem, but I haven't seen any problem. So, I don't know.
Interesting. Interesting. Anyway, so Michael has got the next clue, and there was like a little vial. A blue vial of liquid? Yeah, so they're figuring out what the next clue is going to take them to.
That didn't jump out of me. I can't think of any sort of, aside from Romulan ale, I can't think of any distinct blue liquid in Trek history.
I'm looking at the name of the next episode to see if that would give me some sort of a clue to it, and it's really not. It's called Whistle Speak.
Whistle Speak.
Yeah. Interesting enough, the seventh episode is called Erica.
Oh, okay. Episode 7 is Aragorn. Okay.
Yeah. Then they've got all the names on IMDb now, which is great.
That's good. That's
handy. Episode 8 is Labyrinths. Episode 9 is Lagrange Point.
Lagrange Point.
Lagrange Point. What's that?
Yeah. It's a astronomy thing. It's got to do with like multiple things in orbit. So it's like if you imagine like the sun and then Earth orbiting the sun, and then Lagrange Point is like the middle point between the sun and the Earth and stuff like that. They use it in Stargate as well.
Oh, I have heard it before too. Yeah. And it does. And then I've known the last episode's name for quite a while. It's called Life Itself. So that makes sense. But anyway, all of that's now on IMDb, but there is still no synopsis or no plot synopsis for any of those episodes, which is cool.
I'm assuming maybe probably tomorrow or the next day they might drop like a trailer or something for the next episode or something like that. But
the last interesting thing that sort of really came out of this episode that stuck with me is that the ISS Enterprise's crew somehow managed to get out of there, and they ended up in our universe, and some of them ended up joining Starfleet.
Yeah, Michael talked about a Cho that ended up becoming like an admiral or something. Yeah,
and
like
then
that.
At some point, like, she just disappeared off the radar.
Yeah.
Now, in my mind, and I'm pretty sure you picked it up, you thought the same thing as well, like, that to me feels like Emperor Georgiou, Section 31 head.
Yeah.
She's collecting people from the mirror universe to become Section 31.
Well, given that we know that this Section 31 TV movie is coming, it could have been just a little nugget set up for that.
And that would also explain like why Section 31 is so dodgy. Like, are there people, like, is everybody that we've met from Section 31, are they actually from the mirror universe?
Yeah.
At some point?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is, so what I think they didn't explain is at what point did Cho and the other, you know, people and we would assume that's Saru, what time period did they emerge from the space anus?
I think they would have emerged in like their normal time where the NCC 1701 would have been.
Okay, so way back then, and then the ship's just been...
The ship has just been floating
just
in there
in that little thing
for the last 900 years or whatever it is.
Okay, 800
years.
So that gives me a problem then.
Okay, what's the problem?
Well, the whole they talked about Cho knowing about the progenitor thing and the maps because she hid the clue there or whatever. If she emerged way back then, that was before Picard found out about the progenitors. So that's why I want a little more information about...
Yeah, maybe they didn't come out of that time.
Like, if she emerged, like, now, like, in the 30... What century are they
32nd.
In? 32nd century. That would make more sense. Like, because there was a thing about Janal. They referenced Janal and stuff like that as well. So, obviously, it could be anywhere within Janal's sort of lifespan. But she would have had to have emerged post season 5 of Next Generation to know anything about the progenitor stuff. So, yeah, I would like to know a little bit more about that. Maybe, I mean, you know, we only watched it once.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some more little nuggets of information in there.
Yeah, well, this is the first episode this season where Maddie and I have actually sat down and watched it together.
Yeah.
Because, we've had it at the same time as all of you.
Yeah, via those screamers you talked about.
Yeah, the screamers. I'm glad I left that in there. Yeah, and that is the end of that episode for this week.
Thank God.
Look, I didn't mind that episode again. I think I'm more open to slight changes on things.
Well, I'm a bigger fan of Deep Space Nine than you. I've watched it way more times.
Oh, you've definitely watched Deep Space Nine more than I am. I've watched it quite a bit, but you've definitely watched it more than I have.
I just have an issue. I don't see the point in, messing around with that kind of stuff for no reason.
Mm.
Like I said, they should have learned their lesson from the backlash from the Klingons. Why mess with something unless you're going to improve it?
I don't think they've messed with it to that extent, though. I think we've just...
For me, so far, they have. Unless
I think we've added to the lore of the brain more than anything.
No, I don't think
we've taken anything away from them.
I think it's muddied. Unless we find out that they've been experimenting with themselves and changeling... you can't really call it DNA, I guess. Changeling abilities. I think it muddies Deep Space Nine.
I don't know.
And I don't like that.
Maybe we're going to find out more.
I hope so. I hope so.
We're halfway through. As I said, we've got another, five episodes now to go?
Yeah.
So I'm picking that Lorca is still going to survive for quite a bit more.
Lorca?
I didn't say Lorca. I said Lorca.
Oh, I thought you said Lorca's going to survive.
No, I said Lorca.
Oh, I thought you said Lorca.
No. I didn't mention Lorca. Although I did see something on social media today, I think it was, where people were talking maybe they should bring back Lorca. I'm like, why? How?
I would say they'd never get him, but I thought it was amazing they got him in the first place.
Yeah.
How Star Trek got a Malfoy in the first place, I'll never know, but they got him. Yeah, who knows? I guess it would be a nice way to close the loop and bring it all back to, what the show was at the beginning, but I don't know how much they want
to
bring
it. Yeah, no, I don't think they want to take it back to that.
Although last week they did, so who knows?
Yeah, but that was good last week, showing us how far it has come.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it has come a long way.
But I think I did read someone said, someone who actually likes the show said, there is an open-ended thing with, I think maybe it's our universe Lorca as opposed to Mirror Universe. His fate was left open.
Yeah. So far, I'm not hating this season. Previous seasons of Discovery, I've hated. I really have. I'm just what the fuck is this? This is not the Star Trek I love.
Yeah.
Yeah. This still isn't exactly the Star Trek I love, but it's not as bad sci-fi as it has been previously.
Yeah, correct.
I
enjoyed episodes 1 through 4. They were quite surprising. This episode gives me pause. In the same way Picard, messed with my changelings. I don't like that they're messing. If they'd have just made that just some other random species, just made up their own species, it would have been spot on, perfect, not a problem. I don't know why they needed to make it the Breen. Like I said, unless they were planning on making them the new thing moving forward in, season 6, if that was the plan.
Because from what they've said so far, it seems like the Breen having some sort of a civil war amongst themselves. And eventually I'm thinking that, there's going to be one of the sides in that civil war that, becomes victorious and then starts focusing on taking over the rest of the galaxy.
Yeah, and I think
the Breen will become the big bad.
I think they did rename the Breen too. Back in Deep Space Nine days, they were the Breen Imperium or whatever it was. And then now they're calling them the Breen... something else.
Aren't they the Breen Imperium? Weren't they the Breen Confederacy or something?
They've changed it. So that would tie into the whole, there's some kind of civil war going on, and obviously tying into, Locke being royalty and his uncle and all that kind of stuff.
There's definitely still more for us to learn, though.
Oh, 100%.
And we're going to.
100%, yeah. Well, I hope so.
Yeah, no, we definitely will. And I hope it fills in some of these questions that Maddie especially has, and I've still got questions about it.
Was there any point when he got stabbed that you thought they were going to fully arium him? And it's we've given him backstory, now we kill him. That's what we do on this show.
No, I didn't consider that at all. Yeah, but then they'll just bring him back as another person anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely different character. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Because originally arium was played by... originally arium was played...
I mean with Locke, I'm pretty sure that actor... he was in Discovery season one.
Oh, that just wouldn't surprise me.
As just like a human. And they brought that actor back as Locke.
I was going to say, because Arium, to begin with, she was played by blonde chick.
Yeah.
And then she had to leave for some reason, so then Arium was played by another chick.
I thought she had a reaction to the makeup. I thought it was a full, like, Virginia Gay, Zota Zan thing where she couldn't wear the makeup anymore.
Farscape reference for those that didn't get it.
Hey, if you don't... I don't want to give people those little nuggets, because if you don't get it, you need to go and do the work to get it.
I'll fill in the gaps for you, people. Yeah,
if you're listening to this and you haven't watched Farscape, what the hell are you doing watching Discovery when you should be watching Farscape?
Farscape, excellent show. Like, there are a few episodes of Farscape, though, where I've had to go back and rewatch them because I'm like, what actually happened in that episode?
Yeah, there's a few stinkers here. No show's immune. No,
none at all. Anyway, that's about it from us for this week. Maddie, where can we find you on socials, mate?
Oh, God. You can find me on Instagram at HighPitchMaddie, HighPitchMaddie.
And you can find myself at Geek in Camo.
On Facebook.
On Facebook and Instagram. Nothing wrong with Facebook, mate.
Let's start a Facebook group.
I sent you a meme earlier in the week, didn't I?
Oh, so good.
Because we've spoken about it before, where Maddie's like, yeah. Because I'll send Maddie things that are on Instagram or Facebook, and he's like, yeah, I saw that 2 weeks ago on TikTok.
Or he'll send me a link via Messenger to a Facebook group, and I'm going to like click a link to look at something, and I'm like, what is this, 2004?
Anyway, so I'm an adult. I don't have... TikTok. No. And it seems like nobody in America is going to have TikTok soon either.
Here it is. No, I don't watch TikToks. I watch Instagram reels of TikTok videos that were popular like 2 weeks ago, like a grown up. It's because I'm just like young and I'm down and I'm hip with the kids. Because, you know, I'm just like totes down with the crew.
You're like a few weeks younger than me, aren't you?
I've got like so much riz and stuff.
Yeah.
Word.
That's about it from us. We'll see you next week.
Aragorn.
Oh, I hit the wrong button.
Yes!
I needed that one. Too many buttons. I've even got it written there. Aragorn.
Space anus.
Bye. Get into geek.